The Old Testament lesson for the seventh Sunday after Epiphany is Genesis 45. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep you alive for many survivors. So it is not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all this house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and my eyes see my brother Benjamin. See that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father all of my honor in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read the psalm responsively. Blessed the Lord, O my soul.
All that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul,
and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all iniquity, who
heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit,
who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy,
who satisfies you with good,
so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness
and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses,
his acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always chide,
nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins,
nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth,
so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west,
so far does he remove our transgressions from us.
As a father shows compassion for his children,
so the Lord shows compassion for those who fear him.
Thank you. The epistle lesson today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies underfoot. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with the beast at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, and tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body that it is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. They are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars different from stars in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Gospel lesson forms the basis for our message today. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits, I'm on the wrong one. That didn't look right. You heard that last week. It's still the 6th chapter. And it's still the basis for the message today. See if this sounds a little more familiar now. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and from our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with hymn 851. dogs, mind you. It apparently started with a minor disagreement somewhere, and things escalated quickly, and pretty soon a whole bunch of people were involved fighting with each other, so much so that the dog show had to be canceled. Hundreds of children brawl at a trampoline park. This was down in Florida. Everybody was having a good time, and then two kids got into a fight. And pretty soon other people got involved, and then it escalated, and it was hundreds of kids. What a mess. There was a brawl at Miami International Airport. Now, I'm not sure what started it, but it didn't take long for a bunch of other people to get involved, and they were fighting, and the police came, and they actually took two into custody. Now, it's bad enough when these sort of airline-related things happen on the ground. There was recently a plane diverted to Kansas City because a passenger apparently was trying to break into the cockpit. Well, thankfully, some passengers intervened to prevent him. One of the flight attendants ran, got a coffee pot, and whacked him on the head. The plane landed safely in Kansas City, but it was supposed to be going to Los Angeles. Then there was a high chair fight at a Golden Corral in Pennsylvania. Now, I guess Golden Corral is known for its endless buffet. But as the reporter put it, this buffet wasn't quite so endless, and they ran out of steaks, which was what Golden Corral is known for. And this caused a little bit of consternation, so much so that one family jumped in front of another in line, apparently to try to get whatever steaks were left. Well, the other family didn't take too kindly to it. They started fighting with each other. Pretty soon, other people started fighting. And then someone grabbed a high chair and threw it at someone. And then high chairs were going all over the place. And I'll only make passing mention of what's been happening at school board meetings around the country. They've gotten dangerous. Board members have come under death threats, and the meetings themselves are incendiary. Now, is any of this new? Not really. Things have been going on like this for centuries. Wars start over some things like this. Is it happening more in our day and age? Well, I suppose that's a bit debatable. You know, these days, the cameras are always on, right? So it always gets posted to the internet, so we see a lot more of it. But the airlines do say that between 2019 and 2020, that incidents doubled. And these are incidents in the air, I think. And the trend continued in 2021. So the skies aren't quite so friendly anymore. Add to that the increase in homicides. I'm told a 30% increase from 2019 to 2020. And some of our big cities have become rather dangerous. So, no, none of this is new, perhaps, but there do seem to be more violent attacks and brawls and dangerous school board meetings and homicides. Is it the pandemic? Or the economy? Or politics? Or maybe a combination of all of those with some other things added in as well. But as I thought about some of these incidents and the rise in these this disturbing type of behavior, it made me wonder, these folks who have incited the violence, is that how they would like to be treated? And in other words, are they treating others the way they themselves would want to be treated? And isn't this the heart of our gospel lesson, the golden rule? As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Well, maybe some do want to be treated this way, but I'm guessing most don't. Yet they fall into patterns of violence and hatred. They willingly inflict harm on others, which doesn't sound very golden rule-y, if you will.
Now, I'm supposing that we all like this verse. We've probably taught it to our children. We've tried to put it into practice. You know, the golden rule is a good way to live. We should put it into practice, but there's the rub. Putting it into practice, and especially the radical way that Jesus teaches it. But let's take a step back just for a moment. We're all Christians. We are Christians by virtue of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins and His glorious resurrection from the dead. Because of what Jesus has done, we have forgiveness of sins. We are counted righteous before God. And think about what happened in baptism. This is how St. Paul puts it. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism has its power in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, in baptism, we do have forgiveness of sins. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have eternal life. What wonderful gifts to people who certainly don't deserve it. And yet God, in His mercy, sent His Son to die for us that we might be children of God. And then Jesus gives us the means to nurture that faith through His Word that points us to Christ and the Lord's Supper, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed to forgive our sins, to strengthen our faith. In a nutshell, thanks to Jesus and what He has done, we are Christians, we are part of God's family, we have the gifts of forgiveness and eternal life. But now, having received all of these things, having been forgiven, what does the Christian life look like? That's what Jesus is describing in our gospel lesson. And I think it's safe to say, it's not easy. Our gospel lesson comes within this portion of Luke's gospel that's called the Sermon on the Plain. Now, you might be a little more familiar with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel. And the two are very similar. Luke's account is quite a bit shorter, but there are a lot of similar themes. And in our lesson, Jesus boils down what it means to be a Christian, to walk in newness of life, to be a follower of Him. And He says, love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them. If one strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek to that person. And don't withhold your garment from one who asks or would even steal it from you. Now, we might read down through these and say, oh, those sound so wonderful. But when push comes to shove, so to speak, it's easy for us to lose our temper, to fight back, to insist on our own way, to demand our rights, to put ourselves first. You see, imagine back at the Golden Corral where they ran out of steaks if that one family jumped in front of another. Now, that's not right, and they shouldn't have done it. That would have diffused the situation right there if they'd have just stayed in their place in line. But what if, after it happened, the other family just decided to step aside, maybe made a little joke about the whole situation to kind of diffuse things? Maybe high chairs wouldn't have been flying through the air. And really, this is what Jesus is talking about. Rather than showing hatred, love your enemies. Be peacemakers. Seems like we could use a little bit of this over in Europe right now. Be peacemakers, or as Jesus says, be merciful, as your Father is merciful. We have been shown mercy. What claim do we have on God's forgiveness? None. We're just like our first parents who wanted to be like God. and in the process became wholly opposed to God. Truly, we are enemies of God, seeking our own well, making ourselves out to be gods. And God, for all of that, could just smite us. But instead, he shows mercy to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Love your enemies. Be merciful, even as God is merciful. It's radical stuff. And it certainly isn't easy. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, if someone begs from you, give, and don't expect anything in return. So what do you do when you drive into the Walmart parking lot, and there they are, the panhandlers looking for a handout? When I see them, do I say to myself, oh, these are the people that Jesus is talking about in the sermon on the plain. They're begging for money. So I roll down the window, I throw out a fiver or a 10 spot, right? Hardly. First thing I think is scam artists, professional panhandlers. I make these judgments and I might be right. I might also be wrong. And I also believe in my heart that no one should go without food or clothing or shelter. But I don't roll down the window. I don't offer anything to them. Now, we could talk a lot more about this, but that would make the sermon run for about another half hour, so we'll keep going. I think the bottom line is this. I don't live up to what Jesus says, whether it's in the Walmart parking lot or under any other circumstances, and for that I need forgiveness. And if that were only, if Jesus just ended it right there, but he doesn't. He's relentless. He says, judge not. Condemn not. Now, again, this is a whole Bible study, probably over several weeks. But I would boil it down to this. Don't judge or condemn. That's God's job. And he'll take care of it. What is our job? Well, We might make judgments about actions, but we are not to do so hypocritically. We are not to do so legalistically. If we make judgments, it's all for the purpose of leading people to forgiveness, or to repentance, where there is forgiveness. It's about making peace, just as God has made peace with us through the forgiveness of sins and in granting us the righteousness that comes by faith. We are to make peace with others, forgiving others their sins, and reconciling with them. In all of these things that Jesus talks about, we see the golden rule is more than a nice saying. It is a call to action. Love our enemies. Give to those in need. Forgive others. It's about being merciful. And for Jesus, these were not things said in a vacuum. He personally did all of them. We might remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Now, initially, there was great joy and the shouts of Hosanna and all of that. But when he got into the city, everything changed. He was confronted. He was arrested on false charges. They struck him. They accused him falsely all the more. They took his clothing and they sentenced him to be crucified. But remember, as he was being nailed to the cross, he saw his crucifiers and prayed to his Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus showed us firsthand what it means to be his follower, what it means to be a Christian walking in the newness of life. So, is our work cut out for us? I dare say it is. And the starting point may be this. Repentance. Repentance for the times that we have hated our enemies and cursed others and refused to pray for those who hate us. For those times that we have withheld alms from the poor or given expecting to get something in return. Or maybe we have judged where it is not our place to do so. Repentance is the starting point. And the good news is this. God hears our confession and has mercy on us for the sake of Jesus Christ. And thus forgiven and renewed, we might go forth, as Jesus said, and show mercy to those around us, and in the process, show ourselves to be children of the Most High God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the prayers. Please stand. I will conclude each petition with, "Lord, in your mercy," and the congregation will respond, "Hear our prayer." O Lord, your servant Joseph endured hardship and struggled, yet believed it would come to good. Give us such tested faith, and bring all things to completion according to your purposes in Christ, the new Adam, who has brought hope to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lead Tim and Beth, all pastors, missionaries, and church workers, in faithful service to your people with compassion and love. Bless every place where we hear your word and serve our neighbor in Christ's name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help all parents who have brought their children to Christ in the waters of holy baptism, also to bring them to him faithfully in the divine service, that he may continue to take them in his arms and bless them through his word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let your love have its way with us, Lord. Lead us to expect no self-interested reward, but to love our enemies and serve those in need. Put an end to all bitterness and strife. Let forgiveness reign between each of us, even as Christ's blood covers our sins before your heavenly throne. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Uphold civil authority and those responsible to you for the welfare of our nation, state, and community. Help them steadfastly to pursue the cause of justice and protect life from beginning to natural end. Guard all first responders and protect those who defend us here or abroad. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort all who suffer, deliver the sick according to your will, and sustain by your grace those troubled in body and soul. Be with, and especially we pray for Jack, Rose, Barbara, Carrie, Phoebe, Mark, Daryl, Tom, Neela, Leon, Glenna, Wayne, Kyle, Nyla, Bill, Ann, Deanna, Mary Lou, and Cindy. Be with those who are dying and grant them peace at last, and give comfort to those who grieve, especially the family of Jack Davenport. Grant that your children patience and courage to endure every time of trial and hope with Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray your blessings on Pastor Hall as he will continue to serve in Tomball, and for the call process at St. Paul's, that you will lead us to the man you have chosen to serve here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the gift of this blessed sacrament, O Lord. Give us a right heart as we prepare to eat and drink Christ's true body and blood, that by it we would be equipped to love you above all and our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you will bring all things to completion according to your order and time. When Christ comes and all the dead are raised, number us, we pray, among the saints in glory, clothing the perishable with the imperishable, and bringing us into eternal life through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.